Well, at the beginning of the year, our family joined in with the Peterson family, and we traveled to Taupo for a much-needed holiday in the sun. And on one of the days, we set up camp at the beach and just squandered the day away with things like swimming, throwing a ball, playing badminton, eating food, and sunbathing. It was just classic Kiwi summer bliss. Yet this day actually had quite an interesting start to it. You see, me mate Dave, he has a jet ski. And we were planning on doing a bit of a sea biscuiting behind the jet ski on the summer day at the beach. I've just realised, Dave, I forgot to ask if I could share the story. Is that good with you? All right, we'll just keep going. I'm usually so good at asking permission. Just slipped my mind. So we filled up the jet ski with petrol, and then owing to the fact that Dave didn't have a measuring cup, he roughly estimated and guessed the amount of oil to pour into the tank for the two-stroke engine. We went to the boat ramp, we launched the jet ski, and Dave, his daughter Ava, and myself jumped on the head ski and headed out into Lake Taupo. Now, this is where things got a bit interesting, because the jet ski would just not get up on the plane, and the motor didn't sound quite right. At this point, we're quite far out from shore, and Dave was getting a bit annoyed at me because he believed that the reason we were not getting up on the plane was because we had too much weight on the back. And he was blaming me because I had put on a few kgs over Christmas. Anyway, because we're quite far out from shore, the motor's not running great, I'm starting to get a bit panicked. I'm starting to feel a bit of fear. You see, in my mid-20s, I used to do a bit of jet skiing with my mates. And the one thing I remembered about a jet ski when you've got a lot of people on it is they're extremely stable when they're running, but when they're stationary in the water, that's when they like to tip over. All I could picture was the motor conking out, then the jet ski rolling over, leaving the three of us stranded in the water, hoping a boat would find us. I'm getting nervous. Fear was taking over. Plus, I was holding a large flat white from the Wild Bean Cafe, and I didn't want to waste my morning coffee in Lake Taupo. Now, finally, my fear became too much, and I tapped Dave on the shoulder, and I said to him, maybe you should get us to shore, I'll jump off, and then you can see if you get it back up on the plane with less weight on the back. Well, Dave thought this was a great idea, so he turned the jet ski to head back to shore. And as soon as we started heading to shore, it was like the wave of fear lifted, and I was left with this feeling of peace. Everything is going to be okay. And as I stood on the beach and watched Dave and Ava roar off into the distance, I was simply happy to be back on dry land. Now, Dave and Ava's blast on the jet ski didn't last long because it soon conked out never to start again. And they were right out in the lake and they had to wait for a boat to find them and tow them back to the boat ramp. I won't lie, when I heard the news, I was definitely pleased they'd dropped me off to the shore first. Life lesson of the day, if you're ever doing a mix of oil and petrol for a two-stroke engine, don't just guess. Use a measuring cup. I'm sure we've all found ourselves in situations where the emotion of fear has entered our lives and brought us into a sudden panic. Fear is an interesting phenomenon. Fear can paralyze you. Fear can cause anxiety. Fear can lead you to change the direction you are going. Fear can cause some people to not even leave their homes. And fear can be brought on by a range of different circumstances. Some people have the fear of being stranded out in open waters. There are other people who have the fear of particular animals, insects, or bugs. Some people have a fear of the dark, and other people have the fear of getting hurt or injured. We can fear losing the people we love, and I believe most people in the world probably fear the inevitable death that will one day come upon every single person. Fear is a very real reality in the world around us. On the very first Easter Sunday, we do not find Jesus' followers running around celebrating. No, on the very first Easter Sunday, we find Jesus' followers hiding in fear. Reading from John 20, 19, it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders." The disciples, Jesus' followers, were hiding in fear. Why? Well, the Jewish leaders had just had Jesus Christ crucified on the cross, and the disciples probably imagined that if the Jewish leaders found them, then they would find themselves facing the same fate. In short, the disciples thought they might die, and so they were hiding away in fear. They were paralyzed and simply too scared to leave the house. Today, we can find ourselves in similar situations where fear takes over and we find ourselves hiding. It could be when that giant spider is walking across the living room wall, and so you find yourself hiding in the bedroom waiting for your husband to save you. That was a true story. Actually, I think it was the bathroom, wasn't it? You're trapped in the bathroom? Yeah. Maybe you find yourself hiding by not stepping out and trying new things because you have a fear of failure. It might be when you find yourself hiding from that person who hurt you because you fear the thought of being hurt again. Maybe you find yourself hiding from having the tough conversations with people because you fear the potential conflict that might arise. Or perhaps you hide away from anything that might remind you or trigger the fact that you are mortal, because you fear death itself. Fear is a very real reality in the world we live. And just like Jesus' followers, we often find ourselves hiding and trying to avoid the things that lead to our fears. I'm going to be honest and vulnerable with you, and I'm going to tell you about one of my biggest fears. Are you ready for this? My biggest fear is dogs. Now, this might surprise a few of you because you're probably thinking, Jeremy, this doesn't make sense because aren't you a dog person? Well, yes, I am a dog person, but this has come with a lot of hard work. You see, when I was a youngster, long before my memory kicks in, I was attacked by a dog while I was seated in my stroller. And this led me to have a paralyzing fear of dogs. In fact, whenever a friend at school would ask me to go around to their place, the first thing I would ask them was, "Do you have a dog?" And if they answered yes, I would then make up some excuse as to why I could not go around to their place. This fear was causing me to hide away and not do things. My parents kept telling me that I had to face my fears and get over myself, so to speak. Now, at the time, we had this lady living with us who owned a Great Dane. I feared this dog. Yet my parents kept encouraging me to face my fears and go up and give this dog a pat. And finally, one day, I was feeling pretty brave, and so I walked up to this dog and I gave it a pat. And as I patted this dog's back, the dog turned around and attacked me, biting my hand. It turns out what had happened is that the dog's back had collapsed, but no one had realized. So when I patted the back, it triggered the pain, and unfortunately, I bore the result. This meant that later on that day, the dog had to be put down. But as you can imagine, this incident did not help my fear in dogs. In fact, my fear in dogs was exacerbated, and there was no use my parents now telling me to be brave, because look how that turned out for me. Therefore, my parents did the only other thing they could think of to try and overcome my fear in dogs. They bought a dog. And it worked. For the most part, I have a control over my fear of dogs. The only time my fear paralyzes me, even to this day, is if I'm faced with a large dog that is barking at me and the owner is not present. You put me in that situation, I'm gone. Fear takes over. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was out for a walk. There was no one around. I was coming up to this intersection. And as I was about 50 meters away from the intersection, this big German shepherd walked around the corner, saw me, and started barking at me. Slowly, the dog started advancing while barking. I quickly looked around. There was no one visible, and therefore, fear took over. I was paralyzed. I could not move. I couldn't think. I was just frozen on the spot, a complete anxious mess. The dog was about 20 meters from me when the owner appeared around the corner, saw what was happening, called his dog back to me, put his dog on a lead and apologized to me. I can tell you, when the owner appeared, mate, I was so happy. It was like the fear was instantly lifted and replaced by joy. With this in mind, let's go back to John and see what happens next with the disciples. Reading John 20, 19 to 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. When I was faced with the German shepherd and the owner appeared, my fear was transformed to joy. In a similar way, as the disciples hid away in fear, Jesus appeared to them and their fear is immediately transformed to joy. This is the great message of Easter Sunday. In a world paralyzed by fear, Jesus appears and transforms our fear into joy. And the miraculous part of the Easter account is that even today, Jesus is still appearing and transforming our fear into joy. Now, I do need to point out that Jesus doesn't do this in a physical sense, standing before us like he did with the disciples. Rather, today Jesus reveals himself by the power of the Holy Spirit, which he has provided for us. Therefore, what happened to the disciples on Easter Sunday can still happen for you. Jesus is alive, and Jesus wants to appear to you and make himself known to you. I know for me personally, the resurrected Christ revealed himself to me from the way he loved me through his followers. You see, I wasn't the most popular kid at school and I was often teased and made fun of. Throughout high school, I didn't really feel like I belonged. And all of a sudden, I met a group of people who loved me for me. I didn't have to pretend to be someone I was not. I could just be the real me and I was loved and accepted. With this group of people, I found belonging. Now, these people follow Jesus, and therefore I concluded Jesus must be alive because I've witnessed his presence from how this group of Christians have loved and accepted me. Jesus appeared to me through the love of his followers, and my life has never been the same again. And this is the amazing thing about Jesus. He doesn't just appear to us, but he offers us a new way of life. You might have noticed at the end of verse 19 that Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you." Most scholars note that this is more than simply a greeting. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," in a way, he is demonstrating what has just been achieved through his crucifixion and resurrection. You see, a greeting of peace goes way back to the Old Testament where the Jewish people would greet each other with the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom was a word that captured all the blessings of the kingdom of God. Shalom is life at its best under the gracious hand of God. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," he uses the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word shalom. And when the resurrected Christ says this phrase to the disciples, it is the first time in history that the disciples could actually receive the full blessings of God. On Good Friday, Jesus cried, "It is finished." On Easter Sunday, Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you," i.e. you can now receive the full blessings of God through my death and resurrection. Bex and I found a car show on Disney Plus that is called Car SOS. Essentially, these two guys travel around Britain finding classic cars that are quite literally falling to pieces, and then they start the process of restoring them back to their original form. I'm sure we can all picture an old classic car sitting in the garage, forgotten, slowly rusting away, maybe like that one there. This is a great image to have when we think of our lives being lived outside of God. You see, God created us to be in His image. It is like we were created to be the ultimate classic car. But we as humans have decided to do things our own way. We've all turned our backs on God, and as a result, this thing called sin entered the world. Sin is just like rust. And because of sin, we are no longer being the classic cars we are created to be. Rather, we are slowly rusting away. Now, I'm sure I don't have to convince you that the world is not operating as it should. We see things like world hunger, wars, natural disasters, pain, suffering, and death. God desired a world where humanity could live in paradise with Him forever. Unfortunately, sin, rust, has got in the way, and we are left with a broken world. Now, this is where something amazing happens. God, the master mechanic, desperately wanted to mend everything so that He could come back into a healthy relationship with His creation. So God came down in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on the cross, putting the curse of sin, the curse of rust, to death forever. And when Jesus rose back to life on Easter Sunday, He unleashed a power that can transform humanity back towards the image of God that we were originally created to be. This is one of the miraculous parts of the resurrection. If we allow Jesus into our lives and declare Him Lord, then the master mechanic starts the process of restoration, restoring us back towards the classic cars that we were originally designed to be. Jesus is standing before you today and He's saying, "Peace be with you." When Jesus says this, He is saying to you, "If you let me in, then I promise you peace. I promise you forgiveness. I promise you healing. I promise you hope. I promise you restoration. I promise you purpose. And I promise you joy." Essentially, Jesus offers a new and restored life to anyone who invites Him in and declares Him Lord. This offer is made to everyone. Jesus is saying to you today, "Peace be with you." I wonder, how will you respond to the masterful mechanic who wants to fully restore your life? Now, keeping with our car theme, my wife and I, who are both Formula One fans, were able to go to Melbourne last weekend and watch the Melbourne Grand Prix live. Yeah, it was definitely a lot of wolves. We were celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary and we wanted to do something a little bit special. And it really was amazing. Now, many of you know that in the lead up to going to Melbourne, I was showing everyone that I met my Melbourne Grand Prix tickets. I just couldn't help myself. I was so excited that I kept pulling out my phone and showing anyone around me my amazing full weekend pass, didn't I, Sherilyn? Sherilyn's like, "I saw it like four times, Jeremy." It didn't matter if you were interested or not. I had amazing news to share and I was going to share it regardless. Now, this is a good image to keep in mind when we read John 20, 21 to 23. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." These verses are simply saying, now that you've witnessed the risen Christ and are experiencing His restoration, then this is too good to keep to yourselves. Therefore, go and share this news with everyone. This is what Jesus is talking about when He mentions the forgiving of sins. This is just another way of saying, go out and preach the gospel message. Because everyone in the world is a classic car that's been taken over by rust, i.e. sin. And the only way you can have your sins forgiven is by receiving the amazing message of salvation from the crucified and risen Messiah, Jesus Christ. Therefore, go out and share the good news of Jesus. Go out and share the amazing Easter Sunday news. Jesus is alive. After all, He is risen. Just checking that you're listening. We as humans naturally get excited about sharing good news. We share things like our Melbourne Grand Prix tickets. We share the selfies we take with famous people. We share our accomplishments, like when we purchase our first home or get a degree. We share our good news, like our wedding day and our children's births. I can't help but wonder, why don't we get more excited about sharing the good news of the risen Christ? With this in mind, let's have a look at this video that I found.
Here you go. I'm alive. Next. Happy Easter. Next. Eat this in remembrance of me. Whoa. Jesus.
Hey, Drew. What's going on here?
Oh, nothing. Just celebrating Easter like we do every year. But this year, I added a stylish beard. Yeah. Where's yours?
Okay, I don't understand. Why are you handing out candy?
Well, how else are we supposed to get people excited about today?
What?
Oh, no offense, but it's just kind of the same as last year, you know? I mean, it's the same song, same sermon. It's all the same.
You do realize I rose from the dead, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And you have that same power today. You have that same power every day. Why aren't you totally excited about this?
Listen, because Easter, it's just another time for us to hear about how you raised and conquered death.
Because I've conquered death, you've conquered death. Because I'm alive, you have life.
Listen, let me break it down for you. I'm happy this way. I get to dress up, I hand out candy, and that's good enough for me. I mean, I could get all excited about Easter, but honestly, tomorrow, I just go back to my normal life. Nothing's changed. You're kind of making a lot of hype out of nothing. But don't worry, we'll do it all again for you next year. Oh, you know what? I got a ham in the oven. Take over for me. Next.
Easter could have changed your life, but sadly, it only changed your day.
I want us to just stop and think about the Easter message for a moment. There was a man who was dead who came back to life. If the resurrection happened, then this is the most amazing news in history that should change everything, because dead people don't come back to life. The resurrection is a game changer. And if we today have experienced the resurrected Christ, how can it not change us? How can we not want to share this amazing news with those around us? Jesus Christ should change everything. And just like the apostles, we are charged with the important task of going out and making more disciples. And I won't lie, it's a daunting task. We have a huge responsibility. And I think it's normal to feel a bit overwhelmed and like we're not good enough to be Jesus's hands and feet in the world around us. And this is what makes verse 22 so important. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We don't go alone. The same power that rose Jesus back to life resides in us, empowering us to go out into the world and to continue to build God's kingdom. Again, the resurrected Christ is standing before you. On Friday, he declared, "It is finished." And today he says, "Peace be with you." How are you going to respond to him this morning? Remember, all classic cars are in desperate need of the mechanic's masterful hand. Will you allow the master mechanic to work in your life? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the passage we read today. We thank you so much that you are a God that did not want to see creation isolated from you. That you are a holy God, and that you didn't compromise your holiness, but rather you came down to provide the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be forgiven and made holy to be in your presence once again. And we thank you for Easter Sunday, the resurrection, and all the hope and life that this day brings. But we're also mindful, Lord, that there are a lot of people that don't know about it. There are a lot of people that they're going about their days as per normal. As I've preached, I've counted four people that have walked past the window just like their normal days. There are people just going about life. But as we heard in some of the testimonies, often that brings an emptiness. Often that brings questions. I think everyone can look around and sometimes think things are not quite right. We pray, Lord, that we will have opportunities to share your gospel message, your good news, so that those around us can come to know you and receive your blessings, Lord. So right now, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will be bringing people to our minds that we can talk to, that your Spirit will be bringing to mind people we can draw alongside. And I pray against any fear that might get in the way, and that you can strengthen us to be able to be your hands and feet. Lord, we pray we can love those around us, that we won't be judgmental, that we will have the wisdom to know what to say. It is a daunting task, reaching the world for you, sharing your hope with the world around us. But you have breathed out your Holy Spirit, and may we sense and be connected at all times to that power and know that following you isn't just one Sunday of the year. It's something we can do 24/7 as we live and worship you. So Lord, be our guide. Lord, may we hear your voice. Lord, thank you for all you do. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.